Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Tiffany Bacon here with Marcos Mercado, and today we're going to be talking about the blessing of marriage. We look forward to your phone calls, share your experience, and ask any question you like about our topic. 1-877-995-7644 in Charlotte and in the Philadelphia area, 215-263-1039. Good morning, Marcos. How have you been?
Good morning, Tiffany. I've been great. And good morning to all our listeners. And we are talking about the blessing of marriage. And marriage is a blessing. And it depends how you describe it, but it's always a blessing. And as usual, we'll like to start off with a word of prayer together, and then we'll go ahead and dive into our topic. It's a great topic. We have a lot to talk about this morning. So let's go ahead and go together for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, God, for many blessings, God. And Father, if we've not said it in a while, we do want to thank you for marriage, God. Whether we are married or whether we've been in a relationship in the past or whether we are looking towards marriage, God, we know that it is a blessing. It is a gift from you. And Father, we just want to thank you, God. And we pray that this morning, this topic, these scriptures, that everything we talk about on the air would bless many people. We love you, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Wonderful, wonderful. So let's get into it. The blessing of marriage. There's so much to delve into, and I know you like to start with a scripture.
Sure. You know, our theme scripture for this morning, it's Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And right before the scripture that I read here, verse 9 and 10, it just talks about a man being alone and how that's not good. But then in verse 9, it says that two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. You know, the Bible talks about that it is good to have someone by your side. Mm-hmm. And specifically, this scripture is not necessarily or specifically talking about marriage, but it says that two are better than one. And what closer relationship do you have in this world than your spouse, than the person that God joins together? And so you don't have to be alone. And if you're alone and you're in a relationship, that is a really sad thing. That's a really sad place to be in marriage. And so we want to open it up and ask you this question this morning. Has your marriage made you better or bitter?
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, marriage should be a blessing. And the Bible says that two are better than one. But we know that sometimes it's not everything we expected or anticipated it to be. And so we're bitter. So has it made you bitter or has it made you better?
Yes, that is the question for you to answer, the listening audience. So please give us a call and share your thoughts and experience. 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644 for our listeners in Charlotte. And good morning to you this morning. So talk about your life, Marcos. You and Amaryllis, has it made you better or bitter?
Oh, I am so bitter. No, I am really grateful. But I tell you what, there have been times where it's not everything I expected.
Okay.
You know, and this might sound a little corny, but I heard a friend of mine years ago say this. He said, you know, marriage is like an orange. And then he didn't say anything. It's like, what do you mean? And he said, well, you know, when you squeeze an orange, you know, what's inside comes out. And he says, in marriage, you know, what's inside, what's in your character, your true self comes out in marriage. Mm-hmm. See, but prior to marriage, you know, you can take your date home and you just move on and you're like, okay, well, let me get some breathing time. You might be bumping heads, but once you're married, you're living with this person 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and your true colors come out. And sometimes that's very good and sometimes that's very challenging. And I can tell you, though, throughout the years, perhaps the greatest compliment I've received is when people tell me that I am a better man, that they've seen me change for the better because of my relationship with my wife.
Awesome.
But that hasn't always been easy. Mm-hmm. You know, when someone that you love tells you something and you don't like to hear it, it just hurts a lot more. Yeah. You know, someone you don't really love or care about too much, they tell you something, it hurts, you just kind of dust it off and keep walking. Yeah. But when your spouse tells you something and it hurts, it really hurts, but it helps you to transform. It helps you to be more like Christ.
Awesome. Awesome. And I'm sure as you counsel many couples, you hear the other side, the bitter side. What do you usually say to those couples who are experiencing that bitterness and how to heal that?
It all depends. Obviously, it's a broad spectrum of and degrees of bitterness. Mm-hmm. But usually what happens with bitterness, it starts with an expectation that's not met. Mm-hmm. Someone said, look, this is not what I expected. This is not what I wanted. You promised or, you know, God says that marriage is supposed to be this way and it's not this way. Mm-hmm. And so I'm bitter. I'm upset. This is not what I wanted life to be. I was better off, you know, like the Egyptians say, I was better off in slavery. I was better off in Egypt instead of in the promised land. And not to say that marriage is exactly the promised land, but it is that promise that many, many people pray for and beg God and say, God, I want that special someone. And when they finally end up with that special someone, they end up bitter because it's not what they expected or it wasn't exactly, it didn't exactly meet their expectations.
So would you say for someone who is dating or looking to get married, would you say it's safe to just kind of not have big expectations to cut down on potential bitterness or how would you approach that?
Well, you know, Tiffany, I wouldn't say not to have big expectations. I think we always should, but they need to be realistic. Mm-hmm. You know, you're marrying another human being.
Okay.
And that person has weaknesses, has faults. They have challenges. Mm-hmm. They're not Jesus. They're not God. Mm-hmm. You know, if you wanted to marry Jesus, you know, you have to wait. you can't be with him side by side until you see him one day. Now, you can have him in your life and you should have him in your life. But a person, a human being will hurt you. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by expectations, of course, you should have an expectation, prayerfully. If you are God fearing, you should want that person to have that same fear of God and to have the conviction from the scriptures. But unrealistic expectations are, I'll give you some examples, is this person is going to fulfill me.
Okay.
This person is going to change my life and my life, you know, fairy tale ending is going to be happily ever after. It's going to be amazing. It is going to fulfill me, complete me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we all kind of hear these stories or Hollywood kind of, you know, glamorizes
right.
what it is like, but you don't see, you know what, there's reality there. Mm-hmm. There will be challenges. There will be difficulties. The two becoming one is not an easy process. You know, marriage is not like some magic wand that just all of a sudden now you're transformed in,
right.
and the two are just completely, completely connected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an example of that as well, Tiffany, and you probably know this, is, you know, especially the older you get, and not to say you're old, Tiffany, but as you start aging in life and you're not so young where you're not as flexible,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's your house, your space, mm-hmm. you know, your way of doing things. And then someone else joins you.
Right.
And now the two of you are like, wait a minute. I don't like this. And we laugh, but when couples go through it, it's not funny.
Right.
And we all hear about, you know, those little fights that you're like, what are you fighting about? Yeah. It's like the toilet seat was, you know, you didn't put it down.
Right.
Which way do you place the toilet paper,
yes,
the toothpaste? You're like, I mean, these things are like, and they become huge issues. And no, it's supposed to be this way. And you don't listen to me and you don't care. You're like, it's just paper, you know, it's toilet paper. But the reality is that we had an expectation. This person was just going to magically fulfill us,
mm-hmm.
and they were going to magically, you know, meet all our needs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're human too. And guess what? They're probably thinking the very same thing. What happened to you? I thought
right.
you were going to be the one that's going to fulfill my life.
Right.
And there begins the conflict.
Right. Well, we'd like to hear from you. The question to the audience is, has marriage made you better or bitter? Give us a call, 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. We have Jenna on the line from West Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning. I want to say that that marriage made me both better and bitter. Okay. It made me better because I learned to work with another person and learn to compromise in ways that you don't know how to when you are a single person, like he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten many arguments over the toilet paper, the toilet seat, all of that. Mm-hmm. It's made me bitter in a way because, I've only been married slightly less than 3 years, mm-hmm. but I've been with my husband for 11 years, almost 12. And it's made me bitter in the fact that he sits and constantly berates me and beats me down, and not physically, but just mentally. And everything he's asked of me to change of me, I have worked towards. But when it comes to him and the things I ask him, he is very reluctant to change because he thinks that I'm being selfish, among other things. And it's very tough when you have children involved, and I have, you know, I have a 13-month-old who I would never trade in for the world. It was the best blessing in my marriage for myself. But I think that if you enter into a marriage that those expectations you have are not equal on both sides, that really can change the dynamic of the marriage quickly. And I believe that's what happened in my marriage.
Okay. Well, Jenna, first of all, I want to say thank you for sharing that with us, for your openness and vulnerability about being both, being better and bitter. And I think that to start off, it's great that you see the good that the marriage has helped you with. But I want to talk a little bit about the bitterness, because the Bible actually does talk about it. And in Hebrews 12, verse 15, it says, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." You know, what you are going through, obviously, is not unusual. And it sounds to me that you guys really need to be able to resolve some things here. Now, I have a question for you, Jenna. Do you and your husband get with anyone, you know, outside of your each other? Do you have a minister you get with, or counselor, just to kind of talk things through or talk these issues through?
We did, and I had an issue with the counselor because I don't agree with her viewpoint in certain aspects. And not only that, what we would talk about in counseling was never addressed. The way to solve the things that she had suggested, we never worked on them. And it wasn't that I didn't want to work with him. It was he always found other things to do than work. And I work on those issues. And I've kind of become a homebody and kept to myself and journal and go to church, which he does not go to church with me by choice. I can't force him to go. But I think that he has many issues that were unresolved prior to us getting into the marriage.
Okay.
And these are all festering as a result.
And just a quick question there. You said you've been together for 11 years. What caused you to want to go into the marriage? It sounds like you already knew him pretty well, but you decided to move forward and get married. Why is that?
Funny, my father-in-law just asked me this the other day. I loved him deeply, and that was the person that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. I felt upon, you know, evaluating everything, this was the man that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. He knew me. I knew him well. And that's why I went into marriage, because I loved him and I could accept his faults. I could accept the good and the bad. I saw things in him that most people around him do not. And I've been very loyal, and I can't take those feelings away. And I mean, I left at a point and tried to see if that's what I wanted. And I was being called back to be with him. And I've given up a lot to be with this man. He is not the person that my family nor his family felt neither one of us should be together. So I think that now those issues are coming to a head, and I don't know how to fix them other than try to go speak to someone, but not the person that he likes.
Okay. Well, in closing here, because we do need to move on here, Jenna, I believe it really is a spiritual issue. You know, Ephesians 5 talks about submitting to one another, but out of reverence for Christ, meaning that you can't decide that you're going to do your part, you know, in response to what he does. Meaning that if he, you might be telling yourself, well, I'm trying to change, but he's not, so that's not fair, that's not right, so I'm not going to, or I'm not going to give it my all. You know, your responsibility is to Christ, and it sounds to me that there was some concerns, even from your family and your relatives, in terms of what they saw. And, you know, sometimes God gives us signs, but it's too late now, and I don't mean it in a negative sense. It's you've made this vow, you've committed in front of God, in front of people, to live the rest of your life with this person. My encouragement is to make this about God, you know, and prayer works tremendously, but you could only change yourself. You can't change him. My encouragement would be pray about these situations. Say, you know, God, I am giving it my heart. I want to love this man. I do love him, but he's making it difficult. I want him to be able to see the things that he needs to change, and making sure that you don't get bitter, because that would really ruin your relationship and you would draw apart further and further because of it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
All right, Jenna, have a great day. Let's go to Tyler, who is calling in from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Doing fine. Thank you.
I just wanted to call in and just pretty much comment on the same or answer the question. I haven't particularly become bitter yet, but I see it happening. My husband is wonderful. He tries his best to do whatever he can. For some odd reason, he manages to get an attitude about everything as if he walks on water, and I don't understand. For instance, like, we clean differently. Like, he straightens up, but I pull out everything, clean under things, dust things, so I can't particularly clean that same way every day. So if I forget to straighten up the bed or I forget to take my shoes off the landing, he'll have an attitude and won't talk for 3 days.
Okay.
Like,
all right, so you're saying you're right at this point, you're not bitter, but you really do fear that your heart is heading in that direction.
Yeah, because, you know, I've done the whole 5 years of, baby, it's not that deep, really, it's shoes, just move them. Okay, I've tried to move the shoes. Like, it took us 2 years for him to even tell me what was wrong with them.
Okay.
And then when he finally tells me, well, these little things irk me, then I'm like, okay, well, I'll try, but I need for you to assist me with it. If I'm not on top of it, just bring it to my attention. Don't nag or don't throw it in my face, but bring it to my attention or move them. I'll notice that my shoes aren't where they used to be.
Okay. Well, Tyler, two things. And, you know, I don't want to sound like, you know, the old cliche, you know, but there's good news and bad news. You know, the good news is you're not out of your mind. I mean, it sounds to me that your husband does have issues with pride and impatience, and he is a sinful man that's struggling. The good news, and you know, we all have our struggles, and men do struggle with pride. The good news is that there are things that you can do differently. You know, when it comes to annoying habits, because what you're doing, those things are considered annoying habits, especially for him. It's amazing, because a lot of times we tend to really downplay them and say, oh, it's not a big deal, it's just the shoes. But if you could think of something, and you obviously don't have to repeat it to us, but if you could just, to yourself, think of something that really annoys you that he does, you know, whatever it is, it's a chewing gum in public or being loud in public, you know, whatever it is, you know, and it bothers you, and you tell him, honey, that really irks me, you know, please don't do that. If he continues to do that, or in this case, you continue to do that, what it does communicate is what you think and what matters to you is not so important. Mm-hmm. It's just a little thing, but it might not be a little thing to him. You know, there are things that just seem, to my wife and I, to me, just seems like this is nothing. But because I love her and I want there to be peace in our marriage, I say, you know what? It might be nothing to me, but it's a big deal to her, and I'm going to be considerate of her. Now, I can't tell you that it just naturally happens where I say, okay, sure. But I've really learned, and it's made such a difference to be able to change those things, those annoying habits, for the sake of peace and for the sake of communicating to my wife, honey, I love you and you matter that much. Mm. You continually don't change
it. I do actually try, okay. But on the days I might go a month straight without doing it. But okay. One day I might be chasing after a child or, you know, had a long day at work and I might may have forgotten. And he still gets the same attitude as if I don't put an effort for it. And that's what bothers me.
Have you discussed, honey, why is it that this bothers you so much? I mean, I'm willing to change and I'm going to really try my hardest. But what is it about it? I mean, it would be good.
And he's just like, I don't know. It really bothers me. I want to work on it, but it bothers me. And I'm just like, it doesn't bother me that it bothers you. It bothers me that you get an attitude or, like, start swinging stuff around or if he's cooking, he's slamming pots. I'm like, it's just not that deep. Like, for me, I feel like, yes, you can get an attitude. Yes, okay, I understand you may not want to talk about it. But to make me feel like I'm a major mess up, because that's how I feel.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, what is the problem? For instance, I hate when he leaves. One, I hate when he eats in the bedroom. And I hate when he leaves the dishes there. I'm just like, okay, rodents and insects don't pay rent. They can't stay here.
Okay.
So don't leave your dishes upstairs. You know what I do? When I find that he's falling asleep or he's doing it, I take the dishes downstairs. It's okay. Just that simple. And I'll repeat to him maybe once or twice a day, can you take this? If he's going somewhere, oh, don't forget your dishes. But if he's not going to do it, I'll just take it downstairs. Does it irk me and drive me up the roof? Yes, but the man works all day. He gets busy. Sometimes he's tired. And sometimes he just wants to enjoy his dinner and then while he's watching TV.
Well, Tyler, okay. we hear you. And I tell you what, I'm sure if we were to talk to him, I'm not saying we are. I just want to encourage you to, you know, to get with some friends. Do you have any other married couples, maybe from church or good friends that have a great marriage and that you could kind of sit, talk about this in a light matter, but then kind of becomes a serious matter. I know that my wife and I, we have tons of friends like that where we could just sit and talk about the very things you're talking about. And then there are key things that start coming out. Like you just say, I hate this. You know, it's like it actually bothers you more than you think. And it sounds to me that you in your mind, you're telling yourself, oh, I do this with a great heart. But perhaps you don't. And I'm again, we're not there. We don't know.
Hey,
but it sounds to me.
Possible.
Yeah, it sounds to me, Tyler, that you just need to be able to get with some other friends or couples that are spiritual, that obviously are not perfect either. But maybe they've been able to conquer this themselves and say, you know, this helped us because it really begins with communication. It sounds like, you know, you love your husband. He works hard, yet he has his weaknesses and his faults, and it really irritates you. And you should be able to work this out. This is not, like you, in your words, this is not that deep in the sense that even what he's doing, you guys should be able to work this through. And so,
yeah.
And if there's...
And the biggest thing is not the tit for tat, like not the silly things. It's just, I feel like his attitude and his heart toward me is what hurts. Like, it's just like, come on, this is me we're talking about.
Okay.
Do I really anger you that much? Because I take it personally, I really do. I feel like if you love someone, yeah, you might get a little irritated. You might even tell me, come on, you're killing me. But
okay.
Just the heart toward it, I feel as though, is the biggest issue. I don't know if that makes any sense.
It does. And, you know, we thank you for sharing that. We'll pray. We pray for the couples all the time. And feel free to email us. You're in Philadelphia, right? Email us at praisephilly.com if you want to connect with us. Sometimes we have just fellowship events or just fun events we have with married couples. And perhaps you can, and your husband can meet even other couples that are going through the very same thing, yet they're overcoming. So, you know, feel free to email us at praisephilly.com. And we thank you so much for calling and for sharing your story with us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
Have a blessed day. Thank you.
All right. We have Karen calling in from New Jersey. Good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you fine. Thank you.
What's your call? Like the other two am... with my marriage, it was bitter, but I've become better. Mm-hmm. I say that because I'm sorry.
No, we're here.
We didn't
listen.
Say anything.
Okay. I say that because throughout my marriage, it was a definite struggle. Not being on the same key at all. I was a strength in a marriage, as opposed to my husband being the strength. We fought as far as, although when we got married, we were of the same religion. He was not really grounded in the religion. So we fought a lot about where the children were going to go to school, whether it was going to be public school or whether it was going to be a Christian school, and it came to the point where he told the children they didn't have to go to a Christian school. And, you know, this little thing just cropped up. Like, I believe I said I was a stronger person. I was the, I took on his role, and he took on my role. He took on the nurturing role, and I took on the role of leading the household. He was very much my children's best friend, or at least he tried to be their best friend. And even though that brought problems into our marriage, it was something that he refused to move away from. We are separated now, going through a divorce, happily going through a divorce. And the better part is that because of this separation, I have a better walk with God. I'm at peace. I've done all that I could to try and make the marriage last. It has not. Since I have removed myself from the house, it has gone, when I say south, it has really gone south with the drinking and the smoking. When I was there, I think the key to my leaving was when the young ladies were allowed to come and spend the night and spend the weekends. And, you know, that was not how I was brought up, nor was it the way I wanted my children to be brought up. And there was a lot of other conflicting things in there. But like I said, the better part is that I have no sanity. When I wake up every morning, the first thing I say is, thank you, God. I read my Bible. I have a closer walk with God. No, I'm not where I need to be with him, but I'm getting there. And I feel that because of what I've gone through, it has only made me better, and it allowed me to put my hand in God's hand and hold on for dear life.
Okay. Karen, we thank you so much for sharing this with us. I just wanted to clarify something. You mentioned that first you were talking about the roles and the challenges he had. But did I hear you correctly? You're saying he used to bring other women to the house?
The young ladies that our children dated.
Okay.
Were allowed to spend the night.
Okay. I wasn't clear about that. Now, you're saying you're I'm sorry, Karen. You're saying that you're happily going through a divorce. You know, biblically, what grounds are you, I guess, filing divorce for? Just out of, you know, in terms of the Bible, if you're saying that you follow the scriptures, are you divorcing him because of things that just did not work out, or are you divorcing him because of unfaithfulness?
Definitely because of unfaithfulness. He brought someone else
okay.
into the marriage.
Okay. Well, Karen, we do want to say that it's very unfortunate, but it does sound like you are freed, in a sense, from many, many of these things. And when you say happily, I'm hoping that you're saying that you just are grateful to God that he's given you a way out. And
yes.
Because God hates divorce, and it's a shame. And, you know, don't lose heart. You know, you never know what God would do in the future. But he does give you that opportunity and a way out for divorce when there is unfaithfulness. And it sounds like there are many years of hurt and many, many things have happened. But you're saying that most of that has helped you to be better. And we commend you for that. And we encourage you to continue to be better. And what you talked about in terms of strengthening your relationship with God, you know, we hope and pray that you continue to do that. And thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
All right. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Bounds on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We'll return with the question, has marriage made you bitter or better? Right after this.
And now, back to Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
Good morning and welcome back to the program. Here on Marriage Beyond the Vows today, we are talking about marriage being a blessing. The question open to you, the listening audience right now, is has marriage made you bitter or better? And we'd love to hear from you, 215-263-1039 and 1-877-995-7644. We have an anonymous caller on the line, Marcos, and we don't know where they're from, but they are here with us, and that's good enough for us. Good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning. Good morning.
Okay. Good morning to you.
How are you? I just had a comment about love and marriage. Love is a spiritual word, and you have to be a cheerleader for your mate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I don't want the listeners and the callers to feel like that, you know, their complaints are being camouflaged by their own selfishness. Love is a spiritual word, and you're in the spiritual realm. So before, when you go before God and you say your I do's before God, you are in the spirit. So you remain in the spirit. You don't go back to your worldly, selfish ways of complaining. You stay in your spiritual realm, and you embrace the opposites that attract. You embrace the things that need to be fixed. You go to God for all things. So that's why it says you humble yourself before the Lord and all of his gifts. So that's what I've learned. I'm single right now at the moment, but I've been around a lot of married people who embrace what it is to complain and what it is not to complain, and sometimes it's just best to enjoy what it is that you have and go to God for all things.
Absolutely. Well, we thank you. Thank you for that great input, and it sounds like you're surrounded by some great couples who are really trying to make it work and trying to be spiritual in terms of finding that balance and making sure that they follow up with that commitment, that vow that they made. So amen to that.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. We have Bernard calling in from South Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning, Tiffany and Marcos.
Good morning.
I've come to find out that I know you guys, not personally, but through other associates. Tiffany, I didn't know that was you when you was working with WHAT, I'm sorry to call those words, but through Cody, Billy, and Kyle, yes. You know what I mean? And Marcos, through Dale, he's an associate minister at your church.
Oh, yeah, he helps out tremendously.
He's a good guy. My point here is marriage can make you both bitter and better on two points. If you allow outside influence into your household, it can become better. You know what I mean? And if you can keep other people out of your marriage, as long as you're not doing anything to hamper the marriage yourself. But I heard a guy that called earlier talked about, you know, cleanliness. Cleanliness, it turns me on. If I come home to a clean house, man, I'll knock down a mountain to get home. And I understood that young fella's his point. But outside influence can destroy a marriage if either the husband or wife listens to whoever it is that's involved in the marriage. But my marriage has been blessed because of the children that I have.
Okay.
My son won the contest that you guys had there at your station. He'll be opening up the concert tomorrow. That was my son.
Oh, great.
And, man, I'm proud. You don't know, man. But I'm viewed as a deadbeat dad. And that really hurts me because me and my wife, we aren't divorced, but we split up.
Okay.
I'm by no means a deadbeat father. I came from a family. My father was the greatest influence in my life. He raised 10 children. I love my kids to no avail, but being tied up in child support court, having to stay away from being arrested, I had to work two jobs, which I'm not able to spend the time needed with my children. But God prevailed through it all. Just proud of my children, don't want to say nothing or do anything to damage his possibility of being successful.
Okay. Well, Bernard, it sounds like we're practically friends now here. Mm-hmm. We're connected. And the congratulations on your son. And so as we close out here with your conversation, so are you bitter or better in terms of your marriage?
It's a mixture. You know what I mean? It's a mixture because I'm better because I know how, if I ever got married again, which I don't know, I knew what would make it work. You know what I mean? And actually, I knew what would make it work prior to getting married this time. Just outside influence, I never thought about that. But
yes.
Second, I'm better because I can appreciate the efforts that my wife had. You know what I mean? How she tried, but she just didn't, you know, she didn't know how to do certain things. And I expected a lot out of her in that regard. But it's just a mixture, better and better. But I won't make the mistakes again if I ever get married again.
Absolutely.
All right.
And we hope that you do learn those lessons. And we thank you for calling.
Hey, man, it's always a pleasure.
All right. Thanks so much, Bernard.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We have Ebony calling in now from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's your comment?
My comment is, like most people today, I think I'm half bitter and half better. Mm-hmm. Me and my husband have been married for 6 years now. We've been through a lot. but like everybody else, I think when we go through certain things, most of the time we get closer with God. And I know in my case, that's what it is. My husband actually has started going to church just last year. His walk is his walk. I can't, comment on his walk. But throughout the years, there's a whole lot of resentment and bitterness. But God is constantly working and removing all of that now. Like I said, through a lot of trials and tribulations, I become a much better person than I was before.
Okay, well, that's a very good thing. You know, when you say that it's half, and many of the callers have been saying that, they're like, half bitter, half better. You know, the bitterness part is not good. You know, we see it. And we're not saying, and maybe it's my fault here for not clarifying, we're not saying that these hurtful things shouldn't impact us or we should be made of steel and not be fazed by them. But what bitterness is bitterness destroys. You know, bitterness, according to Hebrews 12, it's a bitter root. It's a root that starts growing and growing and growing. You know, the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 13, when it talks about love, it says that love keeps no records of wrong.
Right.
See, what happens is when you're bitter, the next time that person does something, it all comes back. You know, it's all like, it might to an outsider, it might seem like a little thing. Like, what was the big deal? Why are you reacting like that? And we've had callers already saying, I don't understand. You know, my spouse, they do this and they blow up basically because of a little thing. But you know what? When there's bitterness, it's not that little thing anymore. It's just, it's like pouring, salt on a wound. You know, you're like, this hurts. You always do this. And then you get those absolute words.
Yes. You're
that always or you never. And we know those things aren't true. There's no way that you always do this or you never do that. But it's when you're bitter. And that's why bitterness destroys. And the Bible says, the same passage I was reading here in Hebrews 12, that it grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Those are the things, Songs of Solomon talks about those little foxes that destroy the vineyard. It's those little things that seem like not much, but because there's bitterness there, is no big deal. I mean, it's a big deal instead of not being a big deal. So my encouragement to you, Ebony, is start looking at those things that you're bitter about and resolving them. You know, the Bible also says, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. You know, resolve these things. You know, there's an urgency. I know for myself, there have been times where I tell myself, this is not a big deal. But if I tell myself it's not a big deal, but it's still coming up, then it's a big deal. I need to talk about it. I could lie to myself and tell, oh, no, it's nothing. You know what? If it was nothing, why am I thinking about it so much? If it's nothing, why is it affecting me?
I totally agree with everything you're saying. Now, a lot of my bitterness came because my husband went outside of our marriage.
Okay.
And it's been, like they said, time heals everything. So it's been 2 years, but still when certain things happen, like you say, like I said, I forgave him. But when certain things happen, I notice that bitterness comes back up.
Okay. Well, Ebony, and we don't have a whole lot of time here, but one of the things that I'll encourage, not just you, but any listener going through that, it's sometimes people are too quick, and I'm not saying quick to forgive. We should always forgive. But too quick to forgive and kind of reconcile, and they're undealt with issues, meaning that perhaps there are some things that were not discussed or there was not a standard in moving forward. For example, in this case, let's say your husband was unfaithful, coming back and with the understanding of, if I take you back, if we're going to move forward with this marriage, first of all, you have to completely forgive him. But secondly, there's some things that he can't just do. He can't assume that you're just going to automatically trust him. You know, it's automatic. Oh, you should just trust me because you forgave me. Now he needs to be able to build that trust. And that's why I tell couples all the time, make sure you get counseling, you get help, and you don't, you're not hasty and just kind of running back into things or normality.
Right. Okay.
Because it's then it's undealt with, and then it causes even more harm and more bitterness. And it becomes a huge, huge challenge. And so I don't know how it panned out for you, but it sounds like there were some unresolved issues that happened before you decided to continue on.
And take them back.
And so, you know, what you got to do now is you got to go back and perhaps you need some counseling or you need to get with someone who will lead you through the scriptures.
I'm getting with my pastor. We just started meeting with him.
That's good. And I hope that your pastor would really be able to challenge the both of you to change what you can change. Because you can't change the other person. But if you say you forgave your husband, you got to be able to forgive him and not bring those things back because it will destroy you. But Ebony, we thank you.
So much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening.
All right.
You're
have
welcome.
A great day. All right now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Telly is on the line from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Fantastic.
I just want to say I'm not married anymore, but I was married for 15 and a half years. And when you say, am I bitter or better? During the time when I was married, I got sick. And as a result, my husband started over-medicating me and sleeping with my two girls. And then telling them that I knew. So they grew up thinking I knew. And then my daughter heard me putting my husband out for stealing from me. After all those years of going through what they went through, she heard me put him out for stealing from me. So she thought that because I knew, he told her, told my kids, I knew what he was doing to them. That's why I wouldn't come out of my bedroom. I couldn't come out of my bedroom because I had agoraphobia. And so I couldn't come out of my bedroom, but they grew up thinking I knew and then saw me put him out for stealing from me. So they thought that him stealing from me meant more than what he was doing to them. So to make a long story short, I have one daughter now who moves out of town about 10 years ago. She can speak to me on the phone as if she loves me dearly, but when she see me face to face, she's attacking me, always fighting me. I have another, my oldest daughter who's now bipolar, manic depressive. I went to my pastor for help. I've been in church since I was 13 years old. I love the Lord, and church don't make me stop loving God. I will always love God. But I went to my pastor, who was my pastor for 15 years at the time, and told him what was happening to my girls. And he told me that's what little girls do. They manipulate men into sleeping with them. So now you're talking 5 years that I've been carrying this bitterness around, not towards my ex-husband, because God has supernaturally touched my spirit so I can forgive him so that I won't, because in my flesh I could really hurt him to this, but God supernaturally, I know, touched my spirit and gave me a spirit of forgiveness for him. But he said to me, I'm not going to give you a spirit to forgive that pastor, because that's something you have to do on your own. So right now I have a hard time going into anybody's churches. I'll go, and then I'll come out, and I say, they phony. I cannot look at a pastor the same. So you say, am I bitter? Yes, because the people I turn to, my godly support that I thought I can go to in my time of need, was not there for me. But I remember my grandma telling me when I was a little girl, church is not in those four walls, it's in you. So I had to get on my knees and repent to God. God, I love you from the bottom of my soul. I love you. And when you're ready for me to set foot in another church, you do it. To this day, I have not been able to go in churches. And I know it's because of the business I'm carrying around, because of what has been happening to my girls. And but at the same time, I still thank God for getting me out of that. And I just take one day at a time. You know, I'm like, because God is faithful, as long as this God, there's hope. Sure. And I believe that one day God's going to restore. He said he shall restore the locust and the cankerworm has taken from me. And I believe that God's going to restore me and my girls. And one day we're going to be out there, stop being a victim and be victorious and go out here and help these other little girls and little boys who's going to go through the same thing that we went through.
Absolutely.
So the bitterness, I know it's there. And I keep asking God to soften my heart. Don't make me be like Pharaoh, because every day that I carry it around, my heart's getting harder and harder. And I know this, And I'm just asking God to take that away and take this sadness I have and this hurt I feel for what's happened to my girls. And, you know, so, yeah, yes. I guess I got a little bit of everything in
me. Yeah, Telly. Well, it's pretty deep what you're sharing with us. And, you know, our hearts do go out to you. It's yes. so unfortunate. And I don't know what happened. I have no idea why somebody, let alone a minister, would tell you that that's what little girls do. That's
yeah.
absolutely wrong. And I think you know that.
Yeah.
And that's just bizarre.
And I went to the church, the three deacons, and I wrote letters of forgiveness to him.
Okay.
And went to the deacons. I said, all I want is an apology for what you said about my girls.
Because
sure. they're 11 and 9 years old. I just want an apology.
Okay.
He looked me in my face and said he did not say that.
Okay. Well, you know what, Tully? I just want to encourage you with one thing. It's that, you know, the Bible calls us to be like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And forgiving doesn't mean you put yourself back, you know, in harm's way. You know,
right.
you don't do that. But forgiveness means you let go. I mean, Jesus, even while he was on the cross, he's like, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. I mean, there are people who just have no clue how much they're hurting others. And some do have a clue of what they're doing. But, you know, God's goal and his whole desire is for people to turn. And, you know, he hurts more than we hurt. Even through this, you know, God saw everything and he is willing to forgive. And it's just going to help you to move on, because it sounds like you need a community, a church of people who are going to be real, who are going to love you.
Yes.
And the devil's just destroying that so that you'll be alone.
Yeah, that's where I'm
battling
alone
this.
Right now.
Yeah.
What?
Telly,
I
don't mean to cut you off, but we are going to have to move and move on and go to break. But we thank you so much for
thank
calling.
You too.
All right.
Thank you, Telly.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise, your inspiration station. We will return with more conversation right after this.